to me, and it saves time. I need the data not to be hugged and kissed on the way to it. Amy, my co-host, probably my closest friend because I see her for 6 hours a day, is my truth-telling sounding board. Although she still gives me awkward hugs along the way, the fact that I found someone like her, an honest, loving giver of awkward hugs, is a miracle. Amy is the yin to my yang. Everything about her is the opposite of me, which in theory could be very annoying. But in practice, I enjoy her, even when we're in complete disagreement or she's showing me the many errors of my ways. One of the things I admire most about Amy is that she's great at not being on the radio when she's on the radio. She'll get upset with me when I'm not communicating with her or the rest of the people doing the show in a human way, or even the audience. She cries at me sometimes. That's usually my barometer. Hive mind. There's nothing like workshopping your problems. Talking out why you're having trouble attracting new clients with other entrepreneurs in your field, or ways to instill discipline in your child's life with other parents who have kids the same age, nothing beats it. Open, honest discussions with peers or mentors about what hasn't worked is the best thing ever. The problem is finding those people who will be honest. I'm in the media, where everyone has got something cooking, but no one shares any details or insight. You never know about people's projects unless they're a done deal, and you never hear about their failures or missteps. You don't talk about why you lose. You only talk about why you win. I have a few friends in the business that I trust, and we discuss the things that didn't go right for us. Whenever I need feedback, advice, or a reference, I hit up Charlemagne the God, host of the radio show The Breakfast Club. We can talk to each other about anything business-wise, to the point where we know each other's contracts. We even recommended each other for jobs that we ourselves are trying to get. Sure, there's competition at times, but not ego. Much like with a brother, you want to win, but you're super happy when he does too. I know A-list artists who call each other to talk about such little things as negative Twitter feedback. The rich and famous do the same things the poor and not so famous do. Act out of character in emotional situations, drink too much, enter into bad business deals, get into relationships with bad people. I've seen others screw up a lot. And it makes you think, oh, it's okay. I'm not the only weirdo around here. I'm not the only one failing. Actually, everyone's failing. And the people doing it a lot are the ones who talk most about winning. Let's face facts. It's a heck of a lot easier to learn from other people's mistakes than it is your own. Add to that the flaws, issues, problems, ways to fix problems. I'm the greatest advice giver in the world. I've never met anybody who gives advice as good as mine. Now, I don't take that advice worth the crap at times, but I can give it wonderfully because I can see everything that's wrong with everybody all the time. Like, I'm amazing. And I'm probably annoying beyond belief. Seriously though, when we're analyzing our own situation or how we ended up in a certain place, we tend to jump all over the place because we're aware not only of the actions we've taken with the world outside, but of our entire interior landscape of emotions, thoughts, and motivations, not to mention all the should-haves and could-haves. So much so that we can't keep the narrative straight or logical. When we consider others, we look at their stories on a much more linear and practical plane. The trick is to take that logic and instead of leaving it in the realm of judgment on others, apply it to yourself. Whenever you identify a flaw or problem behavior in somebody else, pause for a second and ask yourself, have I done something similar? Especially if you're really hit hard by their issues. It may mean you relate to them. Instead of thinking, you're an idiot, you realize I'm the idiot. That's awesome because it'll help you stop sabotaging yourself, at least for a brief period of time. Pay your debts. I just finished watching Game of Thrones, which by the way is probably the greatest television show of my lifetime. I didn't say my favorite, but the greatest, yes. The detail, the storylines, the sweeping scenery, none of that is easy or cheap. But with GOT, that's what we cool kids call it, everything is executed flawlessly. Side note, I have friends who revel in the fact that they've never seen an episode of the greatest TV show of our time. I never understood the whole showing off about how you aren't interested in the stuff the rest of us are. Maybe if there was a better show, or if you watched it and hated it, but to be the person who proclaims, I'm proud to say that I have not seen one episode of that show. Yay, You win the Counterculture Hippie Award. By the way, you just dropped your iPhone and your Amazon pop socket fell off too. I believe in the rule of the heavy majority when it comes to entertainment. If most like-ish-minded people believe something is fantastic, they probably aren't wrong. Most people love pizza. Most people love Breaking Bad. I've never seen an episode of The Sopranos. I'm not bragging. I just didn't have HBO at the time. Also, The Mob never interests me. I've never seen The Godfather or insert any awesome Al Pacino movie here. Even though I'm sure they're all fantastic, just as I'm sure The Sopranos is fantastic. Anyway, in Game of Thrones, there's a family called the Lannisters, and their motto is, a Lannister always pays his debts. I wish we non-quasi-medieval, totally mythical folks adhere to this a bit more. Everybody's in credit card trouble, student loan trouble, baby mama trouble. Dave Ramsey, who hosts a national radio show about money, talks to people all the time about snowballing their debts, which means paying off your smallest debt first. Even if it's just $25 at a time, pay it off. If you're throwing money to pay off a big pit of debt, like a Sequoia SUV with the DVD players and the headrests that you just needed to have, you're more likely going to give up because you don't feel like you're making any progress. With one less bill to pay each month, even if it's a small one, you'll experience real change. You'll see it changing. You'll feel it changing, so it changes. His method is genius because it tackles the head, the essence of everyone's problem with money. Money is far from the only kind of debt in this world. I also believe in paying my debts to the big man upstairs. Insert whoever your bigger than you power is. It can be Jesus, Buddha, your cousin Craig, or anyone who you'd say, if you let me get away with X, I promise Y. We've all done it. God, hey listen, if you just hook me up with an A on this paper, I'll study hard the rest of the semester. A or not, you didn't study hard the rest of the semester, did you? I remember a deal that I once made with God. I was dating a girl many, many years ago, and we were somewhat serious, but you know me. At least you would if you read my first book. I was afraid to have sex with someone for fear I'd get her pregnant or my wiener would turn green. So we dated for a long time and never had sex. Well, we almost had sex once, and the almost juice got on her lady muscle. About 3 weeks later, she let me know she was very late getting her period. We didn't even have sex, and this is how I'm going to get someone pregnant, I thought to myself. By not pulling out, but by staying out, I was pissed. I was scared. She was too. I would be no treat to have a kid with. I'm going to get a couple pregnancy tests, she said. I was white with fear. It was right then and there I made a deal with the Lord. Dear Lord, if you can make her not pregnant, I will go out tomorrow and I'll give you the rest later. Keep listening. I actually prayed for her to be not pregnant, which might be one of the dumber things ever to pray for. It also might be one of the worst structured sentences sent up in the form of a prayer. The girl I was dating got the pregnancy tests, two of them, and we endured the mind-numbingly slow tick-tock, tick-tock until the results appeared, and bam! Not pregnant. My prayers had been answered. None of me thinks that a higher power made her not pregnant between the time I asked for it and the time that she got home. But I did make a deal. And the Lannisters and I, we always pay our debts. So I woke up the next morning, didn't tell anyone, got in my car, drove 45 minutes to the skydiving center in San Marcos, Texas. Listen, lots of people skydive, but I'm not lots of people. I don't like rooftop parties, much less airplanes, much less jumping out of one. I showed up, walked up to the desk and said the words that I never thought would come out of my mouth. I'd like to go skydiving, please. They asked, how many are in your party? Just me. The guy at the desk said, usually we require reservations days in advance. He looked at me a little funny, but eventually he threw me in with another group since I was awkwardly alone. I made a deal with God that I would try something totally out of my comfort zone if he hooked it up with no baby. Skydiving definitely fit the bill, so I went up in a tiny airplane. And this is the part where I tell you how awesome and freeing it was to jump and free fall out of an airplane and that all my lifelong fears instantly disappeared. That ain't happening. It sucked. I hated going up. I hated going down. I hated the parachute being pulled because it yanked on my tater tots. I hated all of it. Except the landing, where I put both palms on the ground and thanked anyone and everyone for being there to witness it. Meanwhile, an 11-year-old girl who landed 10 feet away loved every second of the experience. I hated it, but I had done it. I made a promise, and I fulfilled it. A Lannister always pays his debts. I could never ask God for another favor if I hadn't fulfilled the previous one. The same goes with people. You can't go around promising things, saying you'll deliver something, and not following through. It may not get you the first or second time you neglect someone, but in the end, it'll always come around to bite you. I'm so serious about this that I suggest keeping a running note in your phone of any verbal promises you make to anyone, and then fulfill them. You will be known far and wide for your honesty and upright character. Okay, maybe not all that, but people are, surprisingly, so full of crap nowadays that when you aren't, folks are truly amazed. Snowball your debts to people if you have to. Just start paying them down. Be a Lannister. A Lannister always pays his debts. Repeat in review. Bobby Works, Rocky Waters Edition. I worked at a marina for a while where the gig was to have every boat lined up along the dock as precisely as those dudes with the big hats who stand outside the Queen of England's place in London. Okay, maybe not that neat, but I had to put effort in moving those party barges and fishing boats. They didn't exactly rent themselves. To convince people they needed to rent one of the boats that I was in charge of, I'd give them a quick tour with all the elements perfectly in place. For the fishermen, there were big, juicy crickets jumping around and a cooler on the dock. For the dudes away from their wives, I rolled out the ice machine that made ice to keep their drinks cool. I had it down. On most days, everything would be moving right along smoothly. I'd book a few boats, pump gas for the group of girls staying at the cabin a few miles away, and be just about to get the digits of the hottest one. Then Hurricane Garbanzo Bean would come blowing in. Suddenly, my perfect boats would be bouncing everywhere. The crickets would flip over, they would jump away, the ice machine would start rolling, and the girl would disappear. That's life on the marina. You're prepared, worked hard, and are ready for straight profit when, boom, a storm hits. Uncontrollable forces ruin your best laid plans. Talk about a metaphor for life, geez. Well, since I've gone here, I might as well continue. Storms are never good, they are never fun, they are never wanted, but you get used to dealing with them once you've been through a few. The result is, you begin to see that a storm doesn't have to ruin your entire day. And even if it does ruin a day, it doesn't ruin a week. Some of the real, not metaphorical storms I've experienced at the marina meant we took shelter and drank free slushies for a couple of hours while waiting out the weather. Some of my most fun memories are hanging out in a little shed with Evan, another marina employee and great high school friend, and listening to Fastball play on KLIZ, all while thinking the whole place was going to be blown away. Sometimes we need a storm. There are times in my life when the storm has led me to a better place, given me a reset, shrunk my head. Storms can be great. Maybe not in the middle of high winds and pelting rain, but when it all blows over, you'll really appreciate the view. Repeat in a few steps. Repeat is when you fought with everything you have, grinded like crazy, and flamed out, only to start the whole process over with no guarantees. No matter how you feel, repeat is not failing. It's getting you closer to your goal. Even if you learned just a little something new, you're still closer to your goal. The first step of repeat is to retreat. This is normal. Nobody likes rejection or failure. Give yourself time to mourn, but not too much time. The next step, hopefully, is reflection. How bad your loss is and how good you are at dealing with disappointment will determine when you get around to this. The final step is to use what you've learned in the process to figure out what you should do next, how to do the same thing better or at least differently. Learn from your mistakes. The more time you can put between yourself and them, the easier that is to do. In a lot of instances, we don't have enough time to properly reflect, and that's okay. Keeping a list will help you recall them later. It's human to forget things that we don't want to remember. Sometimes looking back at a mistake from three mistakes ago helps the current situation. Repeating takes a lot of resilience, which is a muscle that can be strengthened in anyone through rejection. The more you fail, the stronger you get at it. No one's keeping count of your failures or their magnitude except for you. Don't compare yourself to others. It's not helpful or accurate. You don't know their fight as well as you think you do. Repeat isn't just about trying again after you don't achieve your goal. You can win and repeat to take your fight to the next level. Conclusion. Ambition, grit, and endurance are the most important predictors of success, and anyone can possess those three qualities. If there's anything people take away from this book, I hope it's that we all possess what it takes to succeed. The brightest names on the marquee were once just randoms staring at the same marquee, saying to themselves, "One day I'm going to be there too." Everyone is just someone from somewhere with a goal to do something. The question is, how much of yourself are you willing to invest in your dreams? That's a real question, not just something a middle school theater teacher might say to make you feel bad that you haven't learned your lines. You know, my philosophy of fight, grind, and repeat is not about guilt. It's about knowing who you are and what you want, then gaining the tools you need to get it. If you're not willing to invest much in a goal, this is a big neon flashing sign that your current goal is not where your true passion lives. Don't get down or judge yourself. Knowing what doesn't move you is very valuable information in finding what does. I wanted to share my methodology, partly because success seems so distant and even romantic to so many, when in reality it's neither. At least if you don't approach it as such. Look, if I, a welfare food stamp kid with a mom who wasn't always around and a disappearing dad from a poorly educated area can do it, well, anyone can. Nothing about my journey has been romantic, which is precisely why I want to help others feel good about the bumps along their own. Success doesn't mean being the CEO right away. It might not even mean being the CEO at all. Success is figuring out what you really want and taking small steps toward that vision. If you do that, no matter where you end up, you won't be a failure. I'm not saying you won't feel like one from time to time, or a lot of times, but part of the formula is embracing failure not as an identity, but as something that happens to all of us and successful individuals use to push them forward. My secret ingredient to my success has been discipline, discipline, discipline. It's not comfortable most of the time, and when it gets comfortable, it means I need to level up. A tool always needs to be sharpened. Fight, grind, and repeat is a way of life that requires fresh motivation from time to time. I hope listening to this book provided a serious kick in the pants. But once you've put it down, you've got to pick up something else. Here's my to-do list for you. Listen to this book again. Find another book. And read or listen to another chapter every time you watch an episode of a Netflix show. Watch TED Talks online. Watch documentaries on people you admire. Put things in front of you. Say your goals out loud. Give yourself the opportunity to succeed. Be vulnerable enough to fail. Find someone to share with who will have empathy for and believe in you. Have empathy for and believe in someone else. While your own success is important to pursue, our lives don't mean that much if we don't expand them beyond ourselves. I encourage you to take fight, grind, repeat, and the mantra and apply it to helping others as well. It wasn't until I started to help others that I realized how insignificant my struggles were. There's nothing like getting involved in things much bigger than yourself to put failure and disadvantage in perspective. The more success I've achieved, the more I've been able to give back. And the more I've volunteered and pitched in, the more I've learned that I'm not so important, which is incredibly liberating. See, if you fight, grind, and repeat hard, you run the risk of becoming so focused on your own wins and losses as to become self-absorbed. I'll admit that I've definitely fallen into that trap. When I walked into a room at a children's hospital to find a 6-year-old with incurable cancer and the most positive attitude, I couldn't help thinking, and I'm worried that I didn't have a 9 share in the ratings this week? Yep, we're all always learning, or at least we should be. You don't need to have a ton of money or time to not make it about you for just a minute. Be an example to others who feel like they're fighting a battle alone. Showing people you can come from a negative situation and make it positive, that you can stay in the fight no matter what, that's a great service. Through all the small decisions we make every day, we can create our opportunity for ourselves and others. Get out of your head and into your life. Fight, grind, repeat. This is Bobby Bones. This production of Fail Until You Don't, Fight, Grind, Repeat, presented by Day Street and Harper Audio, was directed by Robert Kessler and recorded at Spotland Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. Engineered by Dave Walton. It was produced by Kessler Media Productions. Executive producer, Suzanne Franco Mitchell. Text copyright 2018 by Austin Bones, Inc. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. And from me to you, thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.